Welcome to episode 246 of Fly Away. We're a group of travel agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Well, you've been listening for a while or you're just tuning in, we're happy that you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. And we'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Lindsay, and George. This week, we're here to talk about George's cruise to Alaska on board Royal Caribbean's Ovation of the Seas. Ovation of the Seas is a Quantum-class ship and is the largest ship currently sailing in Alaska. She is launched in 2016 and has some amazing features, and we're here to tell you about them. So let's get started. So, George, why did you choose the Ovation of the Seas?
So for me, Alaska's been on my list for a long time, but every time I'd look at the list of ships that were sailing Alaska, they were pretty unimpressive.
Obviously, Sandy, he has never been in the spa.
Yeah, you're right. Never been in the spa. But I'm a big ship sailor, so... when I happened to see that Royal was sending Ovation up there and I haven't been on Quantum class before, it was pretty much a no-brainer. I went ahead and booked it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, there's, if you like the kind of bells and whistles that are on newer ships, a lot of the ships up there are kind of older and smaller, you know.
Yep. And
Has Ovation actually gone through the dry dock 2.0?
No, she's only a couple of years old, so I don't know when or if that's even scheduled for her. They did make some changes when they were sailing from Australia back to Alaska because Ovation was actually built for the Asian market. So it has more Asian-themed restaurants and that sort of thing than you would expect on most other ships. So... they had a Kung Fu Panda noodle shop that they converted to a seafood restaurant, like a fish and chips place. But they still have a Zumi.
Now, see, that's a downgrade to me. They should have left it as the
noodle shop. Yeah.
And then it turned out it was a la carte on top of it. So it wasn't even complimentary.
The fish and chips weren't complimentary?
No, $7-$8 upgrades for everything. Yeah, I know. And then it was only open for dinner.
Kind of like the one that we've seen. It's fish bites or something? And it's right at the pool deck, on the Lido deck.
That's exactly where it was. And I think it's the same thing.
Okay. Yep.
So I didn't even get a chance to try it because it's only open at dinner. I would have thought that would have been a great lunch place being right near the pool. But no, just for dinner. There were just too many other better places to go.
Yeah, but I wouldn't think that you could charge for it at lunch. You know what I mean? It seems like it would be a...
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
I would have paid for it at lunch.
Well, they charged for lunch at when we were on the Harmony, so... because they had the bisque and the clams and all that kind of stuff, so...
I didn't even see that. Like, trying to think of it. I didn't get to do that on the Harmony, so... So this is round trip Seattle though, right?
It was round trip Seattle, visited Juneau, Skagway, and Victoria, British Columbia.
Oh, so that's a lot of sea days too.
Yeah, I think there were three sea days, and one of them was sort of the Inside Passage Glacier.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the sea days.
So can you talk about that? Because the one that Lindsay and I did on Holland went into Glacier Bay. And it was all about being in a national park. How did they do the glacier viewing without that?
So it was sort of, I can't tell you what the other one's like, but they entered the glacier area up that fjord at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was much before 10 when we're actually up at the glacier. And they were able to get pretty close, they said, because the weather's been so warm. So the captain was able to use the thrusters and actually spin the ship around probably 4 or 5 times.
Oh, wow.
And then once they did that, they turned and just sailed back out.
Okay. So were you guys going like really slow through there? Could you see any wildlife or anything?
Saw some seals. And that was all we saw through there. It was too narrow for whales or anything like that. We didn't see any orcas the whole trip.
Ah,
Yeah, that was the one thing I was hoping to see. So I didn't see any bears, didn't see any orca, but we saw lots of seals, birds, and then we did see some whales one night.
See, I haven't seen whales yet in Alaska either. And I've done some whale cruises that, yeah, we just had bad luck. So,
Well, next time we go up to Lindsay's house, we'll just have to go up to the San Juan.
I know, right? We'll just go
or just have to be in the Holmes Harbor area right here behind my house at the right time.
That's funny. So we'll talk about, I want to hear a little more about the itinerary and like what you thought of Juneau. And we did Juneau and Ketchikan. We did not do Skagway. So what did you think of Skagway?
Skagway is really interesting. It's a little tiny town that's really butted right up against the edge of the mountains. Mm-hmm. So when the ship docks, you really can't see anything because the whole town's off the bow. Oh. So all you can really see is the pier, and then literally the mountain goes straight up from there. So in Skagway, we did the White Pass Railroad excursion, which was seemed like that was the one that most everybody did because the line for it was huge. But there were plenty of trains. It was easy on. It was walk to the end of the pier and the train was right there. You got on 2 hours up to the mountain. The scenery was amazing. They had somebody that actually made narrations throughout the trip to tell you about the different sites you were seeing and the history of the pass and the travelers that walked up this path through the mountains to get to Alaska for the gold rush. Mm-hmm. And some of the things the Canadians did were they were so afraid there were so many people going up there ill provisioned that they required them to carry 1 ton of gear. And they actually had a list of everything that they needed. And when they got to the border, if they didn't have it, they turned them away.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it was pretty interesting. So the train went all the way up, turned around and came all the way back down and then basically dropped you off in town, which was pretty cute. There were lots of little shops and restaurants and, you know, the historical society and that kind of stuff. So we like Skagway. That was pretty good. It's what you would think of in an old Alaska town.
Yeah.
Pretty small. Yeah, like kind of northern exposure-ish.
Hmm. That's one thing I love about Alaska is all the towns have that you know, they have modern conveniences, but they still have that old world charm to them.
Yep.
And all the unique.
Juneau was pretty big. I was surprised. I don't know what it is compared to, the capital. Actually, Juneau.
Well, that is the capital.
Yeah.
Which it's smaller than Anchorage, though, definitely.
That was it, Anchorage, yeah. Yep.
So yeah, Juneau might be the official capital, but I think Anchorage is kind of like the heart, maybe.
Well, that's like North Carolina. Everyone thinks Charlotte is the capital, but it's Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No respect.
Well, Juneau's got a great historical museum that you can go to, and now, years ago, it was free when I went, but they may charge a couple of dollars now. But it was one of those things that you could walk to right after you get off the ship and all.
Yeah, I've heard that. We walked around downtown, actually stopped at the drugstore and picked up some stuff we had forgotten, and lots of little bars. I think it's the Red Dog Bar.
The saloon, yeah.
Yeah, that's downtown. Yeah, we saw a lot of the cruise passengers headed that way. We ended up doing a musher camp excursion for that one.
Awesome.
Which was, it was pretty cool. It was amazing with the weather because it was bright and sunny downtown. And as soon as you got on the bus and they started heading up the hill into the mountains, it fogged over and started drizzling.
Oh, wow.
And they said that's pretty common being a rainforest up there, that it did rain a lot.
Nice.
So, yep, we got up to the mushers camp and they had basically big sleds on wheels that they hooked all the dogs up to and took you out for a run through the woods.
So what did you think about the ship?
So I was really excited to go on a Quantum class ship. And honestly, I didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to. My favorite so far has been Harmony. The Oasis class, just for me, I couldn't beat it. And then Freedom class I like next best. And then Ovation was third. It seemed like, I guess I really like that giant you know, the Royal Promenade that you walk through and it's four or five decks high and you got the rooms overlooking it. And they don't have that on the Quantum class, at least not on Ovation. Some of the bars kind of grow out from the walls, so they take up a lot of space. So sometimes that promenade area was really crowded with people. There just wasn't enough room.
There wasn't enough space. So it's so funny is I love that everyone has their own cruise personality. Like, as much as I love all the bells and whistles on Harmony, it felt too big for me. So now I'm so intrigued to, I love the smaller ships. So I can't wait to get on one of Royal's smaller ships to see.
The first one I've ever went on was Jewel of the Seas, which I think is a Radiance class. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty small and everybody liked it. And it was a good ship. Mm. But yeah.
Did you see a lot of ships when you were in port? A lot of other ships?
A lot of the same ships.
Yeah. Following you around.
The Queen Elizabeth seemed to be in all the same ports we were in. And I think it was Brilliance of the Seas was also there.
Okay.
So that was it. Pretty much those three ships in all the ports we ran into. The only other one we saw was Celebrity. Which one was it?
The Millennium?
No.
Solstice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Nice. So and the when you were on the Ovation was the biggest?
Yeah, by far.
Yeah, we kept running into the Bliss when we were on ours, and it was much bigger than our ship too. Yeah, we could.
Oh, it was massive. And where were we? It was when we were in port in Victoria, where they were kind of all lined up.
Yeah,
everybody was lined up, and to see the size difference between the Eurodam and then the Bliss was just such a mass. You could fit two of the almost two in there. But I don't know. I like the smaller ship, but it seems that there's something to be said about the extra activities. So with this bigger ship that you had, what were some of the activities that you had on board that you guys did?
So we looked at all of them. I can't say that I did a ton of them. The one thing I wanted to do, we never got around to doing, was the North Star.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. It had some strange times. It wasn't open all day, and it just seemed like every time they were open, we were doing something else, or we'd get up there 15 minutes before it was closing, and the line was huge.
And what, for everyone listening, what is the North Star?
Yeah. So the North Star is basically a glass globe on a giant hydraulic arm, and you go inside it, and it goes up, I think it's 300 feet, either mostly straight up, unless you were purchasing the special package that they ran at the Glacier, that they not only brought it straight up, but they hung it out over the side of the ship too.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yep.
How much is the special package?
It was, I'm thinking it's somewhere between $40 and $50 a person, ooh, you know, and it came with some mimosas and a few other things to kind of amp it up a little bit. But,
uh-huh. So could you reserve it at all, or was it all just first come, first serve?
I saw that they said they had reservations, but I looked every day in Cruise Planner right up until the day we left, and there were never any dates available. Okay. So maybe it was something you had to reserve once you were on board. I'm not sure.
But if you wanted to do it and you were willing to stand in line, there's no charge to do that, right? Normally?
Correct. Yep. No charge at all. That's the one complimentary thing. Cool. What else do they have? They have the C-Plex, which has bumper cars, roller skating, and trapeze training, I guess you would call it.
Did you do that?
I did not. We watched the bumper cars for a little bit. They don't run the bumper cars all the time. They're actually electric, which I guess makes sense being on a ship. But
aren't they where the ice show is? Like the ice skating and the bumper cars?
No, there is no ice skating on Ovation.
Oh, interesting. Yep. Mm-hmm. No ice skating in Alaska.
But they have roller skating. Which I think I would like.
They do have roller skating. There was one woman on our cruise that broke her leg roller skating. So, yeah.
Hope she had insurance.
Yeah, hopefully. Yep.
Oh, my God.
So, C-Plex was pretty cool. Wide open space. They had a big Xbox area for the kids to play video games and table tennis and basketball and all the other events that they had there. So it was a great place where all the kids hung out. So it kind of kept them in one of the kids clubs was, I believe, was right near there. So it worked out really well for them.
That's cool. So did you go with people with kids or did?
No, we went with a group and we're all adults.
Okay. Nice.
And I actually being in, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised being at the end of June and early July, but there were more kids on that cruise than I thought there was going to be.
Yeah.
Just because it's Alaska.
Alaska is actually extremely popular family destination. I mean, I live out here. I live in the Pacific Northwest, and I don't think I've ever even met anyone who lives here who hasn't been on an Alaska cruise. Mm-hmm. It's just that popular to do. And living near Seattle, it's very common for all the local people to go just in and out of Seattle or do Seattle to Vancouver or Vancouver to Seattle. It's kind of like living in Florida and going to the Caribbean, I guess.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Yep, I can see that. So I saw that Wonderland is on this ship. Did you do it again?
Yes.
Did you?
Was it just as good?
It was just as good, and it was different because they've changed the menu since we were on Harmony last year.
Oh.
So some of the foods were some of the foods were the same, but they were prepared different.
Nice.
Yeah, some of the things that we didn't like. You remember that the deconstructed salad?
With the
fake gelatin tomato and stuff. Yeah, they changed that around a little bit, and one of the pork dishes they changed a little bit, but. Okay. Yeah, it was still just as good. They had those still amazing smoked eggs.
That's what I was going to ask. Did they have that?
Yeah. Really they did. Yep.
Nice.
A little bit smaller, at least on this ship. And it's weird. Some of the restaurants were not where you'd expect them to be.
Hmm.
So they were right off of the promenade, which is where Chops was. And Wonderland was on the second level of the promenade. It was just not where I thought some of the specialty restaurants would have been.
That's interesting. I wonder how it compares to what's the other one in this class,
there's Quantum and Ovation, and I think there's a third one, but
that's
can't what think
I was thinking, because Elizabeth went on the Quantum a couple years ago. I wonder how different it is because they did start out in the Asian market and changed it around.
Yeah, this one was designed for dynamic dining.
Yeah, that didn't last very long, though, right?
No, it didn't. We were talking to the waiter in Jamie's Italian, and he said the problem they ran into right away is that in the Asian market, all of the passengers wanted to eat at the Asian restaurant.
Ah.
So they were completely slammed, and the other three restaurants had nobody there.
Wow.
So, yeah. So they immediately realized that wasn't going to work. And so now what they have is four restaurants. Two are my time, two are traditional early and late, but they all share the same menu.
Okay. That's good to know. Cause I've had people ask me about that. And cause even if you have my time, right, you have to still schedule dining. Right.
We didn't. We actually, you can make a reservation for my time. Otherwise, we just showed up and put our name in and they would tell you how long the wait's going to be.
Okay. So it wasn't too bad.
No, we waited, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes one night, and that was it. Every other time they seated us immediately.
How big was the party that you were sitting with?
Three. Okay. So it wasn't too big.
Okay. Yeah, because I have someone that's going, it's two cabins, but it's four people, and they are a little bit concerned about that. And it's been hard for me to find the answers. So I was really happy that you were going.
I had the same thing. I could not figure out whether they were still running the dynamic dining or were they not. And then I heard that they weren't, but then still heard that each of the restaurants had different menus. And then, but that wasn't the case either.
Well, that's good because that takes away that kind of pressure.
Yeah, so it's just a little bit weird when you go into either the American Icon Grill or the what was it called Silk, but they're both serving steak and meatloaf.
Nice. So what did you do? Any other specialty dining?
Yeah, we did three. We did Jamie's Italian, Wonderland, and Chops, and they were all excellent.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, yeah, definitely worth the three restaurant package.
Oh, cool. Okay. Nice.
Yep. In fact, talking about it, after eating in the main dining room, we probably, if they offered it, would have done a full 7-night package.
Okay.
and just ate specialty every night.
Yeah. That's what, that was my impression on Royal, is that I don't think I could do Royal again and not have a week long specialty package. The main dining is not a shining star for me.
I didn't find the food to be bad at all. I just found the selection to be really slim. Sometimes you'd look at all the apps and I just couldn't find anything really that I was interested in. Either they were, for some reason, they were all seafood related and I just didn't happen to like that, or I don't know what it was, but the food at all the specialty was great. And the service obviously is really good too.
It's really good. Did you see any shows?
We saw, yes. So the first night, because Ovation's so big, she can't take the same route the other ships do. So she actually has to go further west out into the Pacific. So the second night was rather rocky.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah.
It was that walking down the hallway, up the hill, down the hill feeling. So they had canceled the 270 show that we were going to see that night because they do a lot of hanging on wires and that kind of stuff. So at 270, we saw the show called Pixels. The third night they had rescheduled it. And I'll be honest, it was weird.
Yeah.
You got through the whole show and nobody really understood what the storyline was. The singing and dancing was cool. It just didn't understand the story.
That's kind of how I felt about the one ice skating show on the Harmony. The one on the Symphony, it kind of narrated more. And I think it might have been because they were maybe taking feedback from the Harmony being kind of weird. But yeah, that's how I felt about that one. I was like, I don't really know what's going on here.
Yeah, we had the exact same feeling. And it's funny because one of our groups saw it the first night and I said, oh, what did you think? And she said, why don't you see it first and then let me know what you think? said, okay. So yeah, they all felt the same thing, that the singers were good and the dancers were great, just didn't get the whole story.
Now, was it one of those that they made specifically for Royal? Like,
it would have to be just because the 270 theater is really odd the way it's set up. Then it has those five robot projection screens. So they basically took two five or six 80-inch TVs and mounted them on robot arms, and they all do different kind of synchronized moves with them, and they spin and tip, and it's kind of cool. Just didn't really get the whole thing going.
Okay. See, I never get to see shows because, you know, by 9 o'clock, I'm done.
Yeah, I feel you, especially when it was 9 o'clock there, and I looked at my watch and figured out, and it's really one. So yeah, same thing. So other than that, we saw the usual handful. They had a couple of comedians that were great. They had an impersonator that was good. They had a real good singer that did all different styles of music. And they had two production shows. They had one called Live, Love, Legs, which the cruise director came out multiple times and said, this show's a little racier. It's not for kids. And it was not for kids. But people brought their kids, and we saw them walking out after 5 minutes.
So cover their eyes like and walk them out of there. Yeah,
it was a lot like a Vegas show.
Yeah.
Yep. Lots of big feathers and skimpy costumes and that kind of stuff. It was a good show, just not for kids.
Yeah.
And then the other one we saw was called The Beautiful Dream, and that was a big production show. Lots of sets and lighting and special effects, and that was good. I can once say that the singers and dancers, again, on Royal Caribbean are always really good.
Mm-hmm.
So both of the shows were worth the time, but they don't have any of the big Broadway-style shows on Ovation.
Okay. That's cool.
Yep.
Did they do anything where they brought any, naturalists on board, or any local Alaskan natives or anything like that? Any kind of education-y stuff?
You know, I would think they would have, but I don't remember seeing anything in the cruise planner.
So maybe they
or the compass.
Didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So if they did, they might have. I just probably didn't pay attention to it.
I think that's ruined us. That experience has ruined us now, because that's kind of set the bar for when, not if, but when I go back to Alaska.
Yeah. And next year when we're up in Vancouver.
Yeah, next year. I was just going to say, we need to, every time we talk about Alaska, Sandy and I book another trip.
Yeah, we're like, we're going back.
Well, there's certain cruise lines. I'm not going to mention any names that really specialize in education. So,
yep.
And that's where you use your travel agent because, you know, they kind of know which ones are the best ones depending on what your needs and wants are.
Exactly. So yeah, because some people want the ship with all the stuff to do, especially with kids. Yeah. I can see that being very appealing, you know, having all that extra. Yeah.
So, George, who would your ideal client be now that you've been on this this ship? Who would your ideal client be for this ship?
So definitely families. Maybe somebody who doesn't like the motion of a smaller ship. Because other than that one night, you could not tell that you were even on a ship. So Ovation was pretty stable most of the time other than that one night. You know, anybody, it's, I guess, just looking for the big ship experience and still wants to do Alaska. But I do think that the size of the ship maybe limits some of the ports that she could go into or the glaciers. So we'll have to wait and see now that Royal has access to that other... to the park, I think, starting next year.
Are they going back into Glacier Bay?
Yeah, they got the okay from the government to go back in, so they have some dates.
Okay.
So we'll see what ships they take.
Yeah, I know that they limit the number of ships that go in there, too, daily. So
yeah,
so,
yep. Yeah, and the Solarium was really perfect.
It's
absolutely enormous, so you can sit up there where actually some days it was even too hot in there. But you can, with all the glass, you can see everything. So really good ship for Alaska, especially in the shoulder months when it may be a little bit cooler.
What about the spa? Did you check it out at all?
No, I didn't even see a sign for the spa. I'm not even sure what deck it was on.
It's usually like aft and the top. And
you know, in the cruise planner, I kept looking at the hydrotherapy package.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that might be pretty good. And then I kind of hemmed and hawed and the price doubled.
Oh,
and that, yeah, that's when I said, no,
you're going to, you're going to have to make a little note for yourself when you're going on a ship and you know, you have to kind of share with all of your,
spa
junkie coworkers. Okay. You might want to peek your head in there just for
they'll give you a tour.
Yeah, I mean, my last trip, I had two massages and a facial.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put that on the list. Visit the spa.
I would have liked to have compared all of the like hydrotherapy because we got that thermal spa pass. And I'd be interested to know how it compares. Because one of the things that's really cool about doing that in Alaska is whenever they have their loungers that are heated, they have like the tiles. They're facing like big windows. So when you're cruising in Alaska, you can look at the scenery.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. So yeah, maybe you should go again. Check it out.
Yep.
Nice. Okay. Well, that is our show for this week. We want to thank you for hanging out with us and we would absolutely love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. So please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Lindsay, George, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.